Right, so we're doing things a little bit different this morning. We're starting off with a word, and we're going to end off with worship. And I actually want to tell you guys now that you start to already prepare yourself to be expectant during the time of worship, that God's going to come and move and do something supernaturally, not just in some of us, but in each and every single one of us. I'm really trusting this morning for that, for the Holy Spirit to come and move. So I want you to prepare your hearts through the message already. And I encourage you to take notes as well, for those of you that do take notes. And so I was struggling around the area of what to call it, the message this morning. And so, you know, you get a blueprint or you get a floor plan. And so without a floor plan or a blueprint, you can't really build anything. And so for us, as people in our lives and as Christ followers, we need a blueprint. We need a floor plan. So even if you look at that thing, it didn't come out, but the background was supposed to be, there was supposed to be a slight floor plan. Just as a reminder for you as we go through the message, that what does that floor plan look for us? And some of us have gone and built, and we've built wrong. And so this morning I sense that God, there needs to be a breaking down, that we need to get the floor plan right so that God can rebuild. And so I want to encourage you this morning that if you take notes, this points that I'm going to be mentioning this morning, to use that as the guideline for your life, to live the right life according to God's word. You can either live life and you can live it wrong, or you can live right and you can live it right. And one of the ways are found in Psalm 34. So if you can just go back to that verse there, Psalm 34, that scripture. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. And listen to this verse. Listen to it. And he delivered me from all my fears. Can you say delivered me? He delivered me from all my fears. And so what David did here, he put his focus back on God. He magnified God. And he said in that, that was the key to his deliverance. He delivered me from my fear. And so, I know for a fact that I know that I know that so many people are bound by fear. So, are all of you looking at me? Are you looking at me? Then you would be distracted. I'm preaching, I'm giving this message this morning, and I felt God laid in my heart for you this morning. So, I want you to be expectant. And for us to get the floor plan right and to live the right life, the first thing that you can take note there is we need the right information. The right information. You can't listen to garbage and expect to see a rose garden. Some of us, you know, we look at something and every day we bombarded. I think it was Kim that said, in the old days, what one person will be exposed to in his whole lifetime in terms of news, we've got access to in one day. In one day, we can be bombarded with what's happening in the world. And you can look around it, the state of the country, the leaders, the coronavirus, the world, everything that's going on. We're just bombarded with it. And so at the end of the day, what we fill our mind with and what we're taking in is going to affect our lives, right? Okay, so I can see a lot of nodding because you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. And when we continue to fill our minds with the things of the world, what does it create? Hopelessness. It creates fear. Just with this word, it creates fear. And we've got to be careful. Even right now, what are you filling your mind with? Are you distracted by what's going to happen the rest of the week? Are there so many things that are going on? I'm often distracted by, oh, there's so much. You can ask the people that's close to me. I'm like, oh, there's so much happening, and I need to get myself back to where I'm now. And what is it that God wants to do now? And so we've got to be careful and look at that. So I want you this morning, don't be distracted. Don't think of what's going to happen this afternoon. All right, so the right information, Jeremiah 15, verses 6. If you go to the next slide, the scripture there. Jeremiah 15, verses 6 says, "And your words were found, and I ate them." In other words, I took it, and I read it, and I took it in. Some of us read the word of God, but it stops there. We don't take it in. It just stops in. We do nothing about it. But if we want to get the right information, we don't just have to read it. We've got to take it in. And what does that mean? The only thing that matters in your situation is what God says about your situation. Okay, so while you're sitting here this morning, what is God saying about your singleness, if you're single? What does the word say about your singleness? What do you believe about that? What does God's word say about your marriage? If you're married here this morning, there's many married couples here this morning. What is God's word saying about your marriage? Are we listening to the world and what the world says it should look like? Or are we looking at God's word and are we taking it in? Are we taking that information in? Are we applying it? No use just taking it. We've got to apply it. What about your family? I've got three daughters. I've constantly got to say, God, what are you wanting for my family? And it's a struggle sometimes, but I've got to dig in more to the word than anything else. God, what are you saying for my family? Where do you want my family to go? And we go with that. What about your family, your situation, where you are in this morning? What about your future? What about your freedom? And the list can go on. You know, I get frustrated with school children. And I know they're young and the frontal lobe hasn't developed yet. And there's a certain age where it gets to, where it's fully developed. But for all the students here this morning, the school children, don't listen to what other school children say about you. If they're breaking you down, if they're telling you that you're someone that you know you are not, don't get affected by that. I see schools, I get affected by that in their life. Go to the word of God. Who does God say you are? Parents, tell your kids who their identity is in God. Show them who they are. It will change their perspective. As soon as you do that and they catch it, they take it in and they apply it, it will change their perspective. They won't mind if somebody else can say, oh, you are ugly, or you look ugly, or you're this and you're that, because they know their identity in God. They know who they are in God. And the young children can be rude and blunt, and some of them need a helping on, which we don't want to mention here this morning. But parents, we've got a responsibility to shape our children. And sometimes they're going to listen to it and they're not going to take it in, but repeat, speak scripture over your children, pray scripture over your children. Even if they don't like it, continue to do it. Because one day it's going to get in. It's going to get in and God's going to do something in their lives. And then he will use them. And then it won't be the other children telling them anymore. It will be they influencing the other children and praising God through their lifestyle, their honesty, and their integrity and the way that they live. And that goes for us as parents too. Don't let the outside world impact our lives. Let the word of God impact our lives. Get the right information. In Judges 6 verses 12, there's this remarkable instance about a man with the name of Gideon. And the Midianites took over Israel. And when they took over Israel, the scripture's there, God sent an angel to Gideon. And Gideon was hiding in a cave. And God said to them, tell Gideon that he's a man of valor. It says there, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon, he didn't feel like a man of valor. He felt like a wimp. He felt weak. But in that, God was saying to you, not a wimp. You are strong. You are not weak. You are strong. You're a man of valor. So what was God doing? God was putting the right information, and he was giving the right information to him. God wanted him to be aware more than his fear and his overwhelming circumstances of what God, who God sees him at, as. So here's the thing. Yes, God calls us where we're at. God doesn't call you where you're at now. He calls you because he knows where you're going to be. He calls us as we are, but he knows where we're going. And it was the same with Gideon. We should not take the kicking of the enemy in our circumstances. When we know we are on God, we should know where God wants to take us and where we're going to be. And I really trust this morning that God is showing and highlighting things to you this morning of where he wants to take you. And I trust that God is speaking to each and every single one of us. So God was getting him to understand that it's not about where he was, but about where he was going to be, who he's going to be. And instantly, Gideon began to manifest his inferiority. I didn't put it up there. And when God said, you're going to be the person that I'm going to use, he started making excuses. He said, oh, but I come from a small tribe, and I'm poor, and I'm this and that. And he started just to make all kinds of excuses. And he raised the issues to God, and God said, my way of giving you victory is about getting a new perspective, a new picture in your mind. Don't see yourself as you see yourself. See yourself as God sees you. Can you do that this morning? And then God said to him, go down to the enemy's camp. Go down to them and go and listen to how they see you and how the enemy sees you. And then listen to how I see you, and that let that change the way how you see yourself. Don't listen to the enemy. Don't listen to the people that's breaking you down. Listen to what God says and let that form who you are. We have to see ourselves as God sees us. He doesn't see us as defeated, as bound, as poor and broke and walked on and kicked in by life. God sees us as an overcomer. This morning, some of you are sitting here and thinking, I'm struggling to overcome this thing. But God's timing is perfect. You just got to keep on pushing in. Keep on pushing into the life of the church. Get yourself around the right people because you are an overcomer. God sees you as that. And you have to get that picture in your mind. So the right information. Are you all good with that? Change the information that you are taking in. I see that everybody's looking. You're all okay. You're still on the, all right. Okay, so that's the second one. Get in the right location. In 1 Kings 17 verses 4, there was a famine in Israel. And God said to the prophet, go down to the river, to the brook, and I will cause the ravens, the birds, to feed you. And then the brook dried up, the small little river dried up. And then he said, go to a widow, go to that place where the widow is. I've commanded her there to feed you. And so here's the thing. The blessing was connected to a location. And if God says go, and you don't go and you stay behind, the blessing moves on. And many times, God will dry up the brook, he will dry up the river to get you back to your source. Roland says that if you don't know where to go, what was the last thing that God told you to do? And go back and do it. And so sometimes God will dry up the brook just so that you can get back to your source. And many times we trust in systems and things around us rather than to trust in God. So what is God your source? So we have to keep on moving when God says move. So when God calls us to change location, I'm not talking about geographically. I'm talking about spiritually. And I feel this morning God is saying to many of us here, we have to move on in the spirit realm. Some of us have gotten stuck to the past and the things of the past, and God is saying you have to move on. We have to move to a new place. And I believe that is why you're here this morning, in Josh Jen Brackenfell. Good God, because God wants to do something new in your life. And so, I didn't put the scripture up there, but in Elijah, in 1 Kings 19, verses 14 to 20, one of you that's making notes, the scripture's not up there. But Elijah wanted a double portion. Who of you this morning would like a double portion of God's anointing? I see many hands. And the prophet told him that when I'm being taken up, you need to be in the right place with me, and then when I'm taking up the anointing will come on you. And Elisha did the strangest thing. He burned the plow. He broke his plow. And his plow represented everything in his life. He was a farmer. That was what he used to supply his family. That was his income. What they used. It was something of importance to him. And he broke that plow, so that he can get an anointing that God said he will get. And I feel here this morning that God is saying to some of us, we need to break the old plow. The very thing that we hold on to. And what can the plow be? It can be the way that you used to do things. It can be a denomination church we used to come from. It can be people that you relied on. And that is all good. And we got to thank God for what he did in that time. But if you're right here now this morning and you want to move on in the spirit, God is saying to you, break that plow. God wants to do something new in your life. We need to break it. It was good for them. But God wants to do something new. Have you considered that maybe this morning you are here in Brackenfell, Josh Chen? Because God wants to take you somewhere new in the spirit that you have never been before. He wants to do something new in your life. And I want to ask you this morning, why don't you make your mind up to say, God, whatever that thing is of the past that I rely on, that I hold on to, that is keeping me back, why don't this morning you make an active decision to break that plow? Say, God, I want to move on. I want to go where you lead me. I believe that as Josh Jen, as a church, we constantly break the old plow. And we say, God, bring the new, bring the fresh. Where do you want to lead us and guide us? And if you're in the wrong location when God does that, you stay behind. And then you must come along again. Don't let the brook dry up. This morning, what is that plow for you? What is the thing that is holding you back to move into the newness of what God has for you? I don't know. I'm trusting that God is highlighting for you this morning. What are the things that is causing you to do this? You know, as the own stout trek, they go like this and they can't go like this. There's this thing that's resistance that's keeping them back. What is it for you? Break the plow. Break that thing. Actually, you know what? If it's you, let's close our eyes. All of us, close our eyes. I want to pray for us this morning. If that is you, just raise your hand. If there's something that you want to break, thank you, Lord. Father, this morning, I'm praying that you will come in the Spirit You've highlighted these things to us, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will break that plow, that very thing that is holding us back, Father, to move forward into the freshness and the newness of what you want to do in this congregation, in your people, in this community, so that you can be glorified. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. I really trust and believe, for those that raise their hands, that God is going to do something new and afresh. Even this morning, when we worship, I'm trusting for more breakthrough to come, for God to do something phenomenal in your life this morning. I'm trusting for God to pour out new oil, fresh oil, new wine in you this morning, and that you will leave here changed, that you'll be on fire, and that you'll go and testify by the way that you live that God has done something in you. I'm trusting that for all of us. The next one, you have to have the right people. The right people. People who are right in your life is people who will be honest with you. And I know you've all heard it, but they don't just tell you what you want to hear. They tell you what you need to hear. And I know you're hearing it again and again, but you need to hear it again because maybe it hasn't got into you. Faithful, Proverbs 27 verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. How many of you have an honest friend? There we go, there's some hands. How many of you have an honest friend? Get the right people in your life because it will be the very people that confront you and tell you what you need to hear. So everybody that comes into your life comes in with some kind of weaknesses. And so all of us have certain kind of weaknesses. And so what generally tends to happen is that we get drawn, or we draw people with the same kind of weaknesses. And we start hanging out together. And for a time it might be okay. But what you've actually done is you've just multiplied your problems by two. And what you need to do is to get with somebody that are strong in the area that you're weak in. Don't hang around somebody that's got the same issues with you and fester in that. Get with somebody that can get you where you need to go. Amen? There's some of us that needs to get with people that can show us where to go. We need the right people in our lives. One thing that I've noticed over the years, and I've only been saved for 13 years, is that when people are starting to isolate themselves, they are struggling. And they're isolating themselves from the church and from the people of God. And they become weak. Not yet. Thanks, Dion, for getting me off my point there. No problem. So don't, when you are becoming weaker, don't isolate yourself from the people of God and from the church. Push in. Push into the church. Push into the people of God. People that need to tell you, if you want to go somewhere, get around somebody that will tell you how to get there, that's strong in that area. And I'm talking out of experience. Even in business, I surround myself with people where I know where I want to go, and I surround myself with people who can get me there. It's a principle in business. If you're going to surround yourself with people that are just doing things all over the show, you're not going to get anywhere. And so the guys in the business, you would know what I'm talking about. Surround yourself with people that know how to get there. And so maybe some of us need to hear that this morning. So you have to have the right information. You have to get into the right location. You've got to have the right people. And you need to have, the right focus. We'll call it the right focus. In the Old Testament, the widow gathered a last bit of food, a meal for her and her son, and they were going to eat it, and they were going to die. But then God sent the prophet, and he said that the widow will feed you. And so she had this decision to make. Either we're going to eat this meal, and we're going to die afterwards, or even in my struggles, even where I'm now, and I know this is, even in this, I'm not going to look outward and give this man food. And when she did that, always remember this, what you keep in your own hands will shrink. What you put in God's hands will multiply. And for that moment, her focus came off herself and said, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And the Bible says, when she did it, the food that she had didn't run out for 3.5 years. What did she get? What did she do? She got the focus off herself. Who of you know William Booth? He was the founder of the Salvation Army. And one day he was expected to do a speech I can't remember what it was. It was at a graduation, I think. And everybody, because he was a good narrator, everybody expected him to come up and give this powerful speech. And he got up, he walked up to the podium, and he stood there just like this. And he said, others, others. And he turned around and he went and sat down. And that is one of the things that God wants us to take the focus of ourselves and focus on other people. Because even in that, when you do that, God blesses obedience. But Donnie, I came here this morning because I need this and I need that. Just look around you. Turn your heads, look around you. Who is there that it's got a need? Who is there that you can encourage? Who is there that you can pray for? We prayed for Roland this morning. A good way for us to help people's need is the Axe Pantry Fund. If you guys have got that account details afterwards, you can put it up. Or you can go and ask the Reza for the banking details. The church uses that to help families that's in need. So we look away from ourselves and we help other people. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't done so, you haven't got involved, something to help people that's really in need. And there you know the money is going to the right place, to the people that really needs it. So I want to encourage you to do that. But look away from yourselves. God recognizes that. And that's what he's looking for. And he blesses that. God blesses that. We saw it here from Scripture. The food didn't run out for 3.5 years. We've got to hold on to that. And then lastly, now Tian, you and the team can come up. We go on to the last point. We have to have the right atmosphere. What do you mean, Donnie? So in your life, you create an atmosphere. And this morning, the right atmosphere is summed up in one word, and that is praise. And in a couple of minutes, we're going to end off with praise. But I want to explain why. Have you ever noticed that emotions create an atmosphere? Emotions create an atmosphere. So when you walk into a room and somebody is sad, without them saying a word, you feel that sadness. If somebody is fearful and angry and hurt, I've experienced this many times. I've experienced it in this week. I walked into a room and this person was just, without him saying anything, he was just angry and frustrated and blaming and I could just feel that there was this atmosphere around them. You know what I'm talking about? Yes? You create an atmosphere around you. And here's the thing. God responds to that atmosphere. God is either drawn to an atmosphere or he withdraws from an atmosphere. And what is the atmosphere that he's drawn to? It's one of thanksgiving, of gratefulness, and one of praise. And we're going to praise him this morning. In 1 Samuel 16, verses 23, There's this amazing event that happened. King Saul would be diagnosed what we would call manic depression. And so he went into times of darknesses and times of where things just got out of hand, and he was just in a dark place. And the Bible says that when the evil spirits of depression troubled him, and he went into a dark place of his life, what did he do? He called for David. He said, go and call David to bring his harp and to come and play in his harp, with his harp. And so David would bring the harp, and he would start playing in the harp, and he would fill the atmosphere with praise. And then your Bible says that evil spirit would go away, and Saul would come to a place of sound mind. And that story is in your Bible. It's there. It's in your Bible. My question to you this morning is, do you believe it? It says that we can change the atmosphere even when things aren't changing yet. Maybe there's things that you're praying for, things that you're hoping for, things that you are believing for. But you can control the atmosphere that you're in. When you look at that, you have to ask yourself, what is the atmosphere that you are in right now? Where are you at right now? What kind of people do you surround yourself with? People that create a certain atmosphere in your life. Are they negative or are they positive? Are they faithful or are they fearful? Because the people around you create an atmosphere in your life. Not only that, what are you watching on TV? What kind of music are you listening to? What kind of things are we filling our mind with? Because it creates an atmosphere, and God is either drawn to it or He withdraws from it. And this morning, He's looking for an atmosphere of gratitude, of praise. What about the words that you speak? Proverbs 18 says there's death and there's life in the words that you speak continually. And the Bible says you can literally tear your life apart by speaking evil the whole time, speaking negative and talking, and I've seen this in people's lives. And so we create with the words of our mouths an atmosphere that either attracts God or it can cause God to be drawn into our situation. In Isaiah 61, it's also not on here, but it says, take off the spirit of heaviness. And then it says something interesting. It doesn't just say take it off. It says take off the spirit of heaviness. So there's got to be something that we need to take off. And then it says put on the garment of praise. This morning we're going to take off that spirit of heaviness. Is it on you? I'm going to pray for you this morning. That spirit of heaviness will be removed, and that the garment of praise will be put on. And God, we're going to be open for God to do something miraculous in our lives. Amen? Psalm 34, David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will be listened, continually be in my mind. But we have to open our mouths. We've got to word it out. And then he goes on to say that my soul will boast in the Lord. In other words, my focus is on God. When the world's pulling you down, stop looking at the mud and the dust and start looking up to God and say, God, I want to focus on you. That's what David did. That's part of taking in the word. I'm not just going to focus on this year, but now I'm going to look up, God, and I'm going to focus on you, on what your word says. And I'm going to magnify you and glorify you and praise you. And we need to focus on God because He's the only one that can change our situation. Do you believe that? I believe that. And maybe you're here this morning and say, Danny, I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but I'm not so convinced. And so if you go to the next slide there, Acts 16, verses 25 to 26. Paul and Silas was in a Philippian jail. Now, do you think the jail in that time was a nice place to be in? Dirty, filthy Philippian jail. They're chained. They have lashes on their back. And the word says, at midnight, they started to praise God. They started singing praises, worship. Now the question is, if you're in that circumstances, will you do that? They knew they couldn't change the place that they were in, but they could change the atmosphere, right? And so they start worshiping, and this is not what the Bible says. This is my interpretation, so please take it where it's coming from. But I'm thinking that God was standing there, and suddenly they started worshiping. And God heard this. And maybe God turned to the angel and said, do you hear that? Do you hear those guys? That's not normal worship. That's not normal praise. They're singing from a place of hurt, from whatever their circumstances. They chained and they locked up. That's not normal worship. And I think as they started worshiping, God started tapping his toe. And that's what caused the earthquake. That's my interpretation. And the earth shook, and the gates opened, and the chains came off. And they walked out in freedom. It was broken. The chains were broken off of them. And so you're saying this morning that, I don't know, I want you to take this scripture. And this morning, as we worship and praise now, I want you to stand up. And I trust and believe, you can stand. We're going to praise now. And I trust and believe this morning, as we're going to worship and praise, that God is going to break off change that's holding you back. That is going to break that plow that's been holding you back, and God wants to do something new in your life. Do you believe that? Are you guys amped for that? No, I can't. Are you guys, do you believe that? Guys, if Paul and Silas in the jail can worship God, and the earth shook and the chains broke off, maybe there's some of you this morning, you're in the wrong location, you've got the wrong information, you're around the wrong people, and God is saying to you, get the right information, get with the right people, get in the wrong place, create the right atmosphere, because he wants to do something big in your life this morning. Are you open for that? Are you open for that? Come to the front. We're going to worship. Paul and Silas can worship in jail. Man, we do things differently. We're going to worship God this morning and trust him to come and break those chains. Amen. All right, guys, can we go for it this morning?
Hi. It's always, yeah, never mind. So this morning when I was just praying and prepping for this morning,